We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Leaving Madisonville, headed to Slidell, have moderate delay just before 190. Have a traffic tip? Call WWL at 504-260-INFO.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
You imagine being in a German prisoner of war camp and then coming back and just picking your life up where you left it off?
No,
I can't either.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, I said my dad joined at 16, and I can only imagine what he went through, and he never talked about it. And you know what point I want to make here? Because Chloe was talking about she wished she could talk to her grandfather. I think a lot of times, I know with my parents, I wish I could talk to him today and ask him a lot of questions about where you come from, what were you doing this, what were that. I think parents, you need to talk to your kids, even if they don't want to listen, and tell them the story of your life. Or kids, you need to ask your parents if you're still lucky enough to have them. Because that's living history. That's the history of your family. And if you don't ask them now, I can guarantee you, when you get older, you are going to have questions for them.
I remember when my grandfather, in his late 70s, finally decided to tell us about his wartime experience.
Well,
and it was just so rewarding to me as a youngster to hear him finally telling those stories and to understand what he had done in his life.
And I get that, but I'm talking about not even war, Dave, just everything, just your family's history, about Cousin Fred, what the family came over from, what country, and all that kind of stuff, because you don't know. When they're gone, you can't ask.
And it's sad that knowledge gets lost. And
yes,
you know people who don't even know where their family
originated, where they came from. I mean, you can do genealogy, but you're not going to really know about your Uncle Frank or about your parents because you get to an age where your parents were that age and you're wondering, well, I wonder what they were going through, because you don't look at them as contemporaries. You look at them as your parents, right?
Yeah. You know, do kids still make family trees and still, you know, in school have to go and talk to their parents and grandparents about, you know, where they're from and what they went through and how they came to live where they live now
and how they live now.
That is very rewarding.
So if your parents are still here and you're lucky enough for that, talk to them. Go out to eat. Ask them stories about what it was like when they were this and that and the other thing, because you could be sorry if you don't. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Tommy.
We're joined now by Michelle Johnson, our friend Gaston. I just love saying that. Chair of Business at Loyola University. Author of the new book, A Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Or should I call you chairperson?
No, definitely Michelle.
Michelle? Okay, let's
Michelle
go to Michelle.
Michelle's great.
Been answering that all your life. Why not stay with it, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me about what workers are looking for today, and I'm still trying to figure out. I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody who has a friend that owns a manufacturing business, and they can't find workers. He's offering $20 an hour to find people. It's installing gutters, but, I mean, not everybody is meant to be the chair, the Gaston chair at Loyola, right? I mean, people need work, and he can't find people to do it. And as the owner of a business, and he don't want to be out there hanging gutters, but he's doing it because he can't find the people. What happened with COVID? Where are all the people, and when are they going to come back to work?
I swear, that is the question at any gathering. I mean, Michelle, where are all the workers? I can't find anybody. And the other question is, can you track the workers? But once you get them in your company, how do you retain them? Retention is key right now. And companies talk a lot about engagement as well. So here are the startling facts. Here's what's crazy, Tommy, is right now, what's 3 years coming out of the pandemic. So 3 years ago in March, right, was when the world shut down. And then we had that great resignation that followed. over 50 million people quit. And we're still trying to make it through all the data to figure out why in the world everybody quit. And it wasn't necessarily because of money. It was because how they were treated. So 52% of people said they quit because they didn't feel valued. So I believe that if you, the person you were talking to of the manufacturing company, I was just talking to somebody yesterday who retired from UPS, having the same conversation. They're like, what is it going to take? What do people want? And guess what it takes? People want more meaning in their lives. I just saw a piece on the Today Show, a Yale professor, one of the most popular courses at Yale, and it's about well-being, and it's about living a well-balanced life. That's what people want. And I remember last time I was on your show, we were having this conversation. If not now, then when? Why can't we create an environment at work where people want to be there, they're appreciated, they feel valued, and if they have to run out for Little League game, they don't have to lie. They don't have to tell a fib and say, oh, I've got to run to the doctor's appointment. I saw this TED Talk, Tommy, you would have loved it, and it was from a hospice doctor. Mm. And he sat and has held so many hands of people who are dying. And he said the thing that we hear the most, nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I would have missed more meals with my family so I could have proven to my boss that I was working, right?
Yeah, but Michelle, I get that in retrospect. But at the time, and look, you're talking to a guy who got up from God knows how many Christmas meals and Thanksgiving and everything else to go to a casino and MC car giveaways because I couldn't turn down the money. At the time, you need the money, and I'm sure at the end of it all, you might have some regrets, but I don't know if that's an honest evaluation, do you think?
So, yeah, so let's kind of compartmentalize this. So there is a difference between the manufacturing jobs, right, where you got to show up to a factory, right, and you can't just leave the people hanging. You are going to have to submit time for, you know, if your kid is sick and take them to the doctor. That is different than the knowledge worker, which I primarily deal with. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to one of my dear friends and clients this morning. She's the chief of compliance at Ochsner, Eden Ezel. I actually mentioned her. She's a brilliant leader the last time I was on your show. And we were talking about this this conversation, this topic. And she said, I was so appreciative when I was talking to one of my leaders yesterday. She was in the car. She's got three kids. One of them had just been dismissed early. And she was able to say, look, I've got three crazy kids in the back seat, but here's what I'm working on. Let me know your advice, and I'm going to solve this problem when I get them to bed at 8:30 at night. In that certain environment, Eden Ezel says, you go. You do what you need to do because I trust that you're going to get your work done. And if you have to log back on at 9 o'clock, I know you're going to do it. Because your productivity is still high, you're getting the results that I need. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm talking about more of work environments that employ knowledge workers where you can trust and say, you go and you do you, and you get the work done, the productivity, and I'm not going to question you. That's the positive work environment that I want to see.
So I'm trying to think of what changed, and just from, you know, back in the day, my dad raised me. You know, you go to work, you keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, do what they do. I can't keep my mouth shut, obviously, because I wouldn't be working. But you understand the point, Michelle, that you just, you know, keep working and they pay you and keep do what you're supposed to do and everything will be fine. But maybe the shift is because now we have more knowledge workers than we did back in the day. Yes. When it was manufacturing based.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. So there's much more autonomy. And what people are saying is they were not happy. They might be bringing in a paycheck, but at the end of the day, people want more now. So the younger generation wants more, and the productivity is still there. That's what's beautiful about the article that just came out about perks. Mm-hmm. What can we do to attract and retain employees in this new era? So many bosses that I spoke to, so many executives during the pandemic did not trust that their employees were actually working from home. And guess what? The research shows that they were. Mm-hmm. And if not, they were even more productive. So that's the type of leadership I'm talking about, is if you are leading a team of employees where productivity is still high, but they're able to be flexible and get their work done at hours that work for their lifestyle, they're going to be more satisfied, more productive, and at the end of the day, it's going to affect your bottom line. So get this. You're going to love this, Tommy. So I'm working right now on collecting data for my second book, which is going to be How to Create Cultures of Connection that Drive Results. because we're finding in that the Yale study that I just referred to, which is all about a Yale class talking about well-meaning in life and a life well-lived, they're finding that you really can have more joy and satisfaction, and you're going to be a much better worker if you're trusted by your boss to do your job. So for all of the bosses who are listening right now, you got to trust and give up some of that control, because those are the two issues that bosses seem to struggle with. They don't trust that their employees are going to do what they need them to do, and they struggle with giving up control.
If you can't trust them, I guess at some point you have to have a hard conversation about why are they working here?
Exactly. And that's one of the best practices that emerged in my first book in the data collection was, and I was talking with Pete November, who's the CEO of Ochsner Health right now, a beautiful leader. And he said, Michelle, it blows my mind that so few leaders actually sit down and ask their employees, what perks would motivate you? What do you need from me to succeed? How can you be more satisfied at work so that I can retain you? I want to keep you. He said, how come bosses don't sit down and ask their employees, what do you need? How can I make this better for you?
Let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. It's 9:19. We're talking to Michelle Johnson, the Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of a new book, A Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection, working on a second book, Cultures of Connection. And we're talking about working from home. We'll get into 4-day work weeks and more when we come back. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. And I will pass them along. We come back. Glad you're with us, WWL. 9:24, talking to Michelle Johnson, Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University, author of a new book, Seismic Shift in Leadership, How to Thrive in a New Era of Connection, and working on a second book, Cultures of Connection. You said earlier, Michelle, 50 million people quit. Was that in the United States or was that worldwide?
Worldwide. It was the Great Resignation. And then out of the people who quit, 52% actually said that they didn't feel valued and appreciated. They wanted more in life. And so we as an executive coaches, I'm a part of this community. We come together with coaches around the world, and we have re-termed it the great reevaluation, the great reprioritization, because we all had to think what is really important. And going back to that Yale study, it's not always money.
You read my mind, Michelle. You read my mind. That was the next question coming out.
It's not. It actually is how we end up feeling. So let's go back to this stat. 52% people quit because they didn't feel appreciated and valued. I think my dean is listening to us talk, because as you went on break, Tommy, I love our dean of the College of Business, Michael Capella. He just sent out an email to all faculty members saying, we were supposed to have a faculty meeting tomorrow. Let me just tell you, we've gone through 3 presidents at Loyola, 3 provosts, 2 hurricanes, and a global pandemic. And you all have not only survived, you thrived. Let's just have lunch together, celebrate our wins, and go home early. That is an example of what I'm talking about. That all of a sudden makes you feel, oh my gosh, wow, he recognizes, you know, we not only survived, we thrived. I worked my tail off, right? And he sees it, and he's going to reward and appreciate and value. That's huge.
See, now, part of that resonates with me. Although I am a keep your head down, do your work kind of guy, I don't like to hang around work. When it's over, I want to go home. There's no reason to hang around and play grab, you know what? Let's just go. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Thank you for saying that, because in all these years as an executive coach, I always begin conducting 360 interviews. So I interview the key stakeholders around the leader I'm about to coach. And one of the number one characteristics that drives people to quit from a leader, people don't quit because of money. They quit because of their leader. And typically it's because the leader is staring at the clock the whole time and not willing to trust you and sitting there was like, well, you should stay until 5 o'clock, even though the worker's like, but I'm done. It's those little things that drive people crazy. And when they feel just micromanaged, that creates dissatisfaction, and they leave because of their leader, not because of the money.
Let me read this text to you. Tommy, can she address the direct customer base employees and how to retain them? I'm in a business where we see patients all day, and if you have 7 females that have 2 to 4 kids that have doctor's appointments, soccer practice, orthodontic appointments, school plays. How do I maintain productivity when I seem to be juggling a schedule of employees needing / wanting to be off? They all say they want a work-life balance, but I'm trying to run a business.
That is hard, and I can really empathize with that. I've interviewed a lot of leaders that say, okay, so this one particular person says, you know what, I would be so much more productive in the 4-day work week. I'll work 10-hour days. Give me Fridays off. And then the leader does, and then everybody else finds out, and they all want Fridays off, and then the leader has nobody working on Fridays. Yes. And so my recommendation is you go to your team, and you say, look, I really want to make this work for you, and if you want to do the 4-hour or the 4-day work week, 10-hour days, then we need somebody to take a Wednesday off. We need somebody to take a Monday off, a Friday off, a Tuesday, a Thursday, and we'll rotate. And you gotta empower your teams to figure that out, because that's a lot of pressure for that person who texted you, the boss, who says, I want to be a good boss. At the end of the day, I'm running a business, and everyone has doctor's appointments and kids' vacations and sick days. Let the team figure it out. Empower the team and trust the team.
Should the managers get the other employees involved, where it's like, okay, if we're a team, now let's work as a team to see who can cover
for
whom? Yes,
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And the reason why I'm writing this next book on creating a culture of connection, because I have found that that's the foundation. If you build connection and say, let's get the team together, and I really want to hear your opinions. What do you think would work? So having brainstorming sessions like that builds the connection, which builds the trust, which shows your people, right, not only that you trust and you care about them and you value their opinion, and then that's what drives productivity and that's what drives financial performance. That's why I'm going to write that next book.
Somebody texted in, I think this is a good text too, but you still need to make enough money.
Heck yeah, you do. And that's what that's what we're seeing is, and it's so funny, Tommy, I have a lot of leaders who say, Michelle, you're telling me that I need to embed time to actually show my people that I care, but I got to run a business. I got to make money. But that's what I'm saying. It's counterintuitive, right? The more time you spend up front saying, let's build this culture of connection, let's build trust with each other. I value you. I care about you. And I'm going to give you the autonomy to make the best decisions. That is where we see the financial success.
How do you balance, if you will, employee satisfaction? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, and I'm stumbling here trying to figure out how to phrase it. Bottom line is it just, are employees looking for a pat on the head? Is that how you show appreciation, or do you show it in leaving them alone, letting them do their work? I'm just curious about that.
You know, that is a great, you asked very good questions, Tommy Tucker. So we have found that some people really want that group praise, you know,
exactly. You did your job. Congratulations.
Particularly in front of others. And some people are extreme introverts and they don't like that. And just an email or a call, a voicemail from your boss, just one-on-one. I recognize the hard hours, the many hours you put in last month and you landed that client. Well done. Is good enough. So again, this is where the boss and leadership is hard, and it's becoming, I think, even more challenging, because it's not just about achieving results. You really do have to spend time getting to know your people and what motivates your people, because you're right. Some people want to be praised in a group. Some people, that makes them uncomfortable. Some people, there's a great assessment. I read, there was a New York Times article that was on the love languages. There's an assessment you can take on what your love language is. It words of affirmation or service or physical touch? And a study was done in a coal mine in West Virginia, using the philosophy of how do people want to be shown that they're valued? Is it through words of affirmation, or should you give a day off? Everybody has their different style. It's up to you as a leader to figure that out with your people.
This is a good text about approaching things, covering for each other as a team effort, that inevitably there's a slacker in the group and is not willing to cooperate and wants to take and never give. And I can see where that could happen.
Oh, boy. After teaching at Loyola College students for over 20 years, yeah, you do find that there are slackers. The good news is, in organizations, we have things called performance appraisals, right? And we hope to give feedback to let that person know that their behavior is going to have to improve. You can't. That is one of the things in this data collection I'm doing right now of how to build a culture of connection, Tommy. I'm finding accelerators to build connection and things that will tear down connection overnight. And lack of accountability is one thing that can tear down years of work building a strong culture with your team. If you don't hold that slacker accountable, it can tear it down overnight. Hold people accountable.
I work at the brand new, really fancy hotel in town, and they're constantly talking about teamwork. This is a text. Yet their idea of teamwork is all of their employees giving up their family time to spend more time working for the team. That's not what you're talking about, right?
Right. No. Good try.
Yeah. Okay. Have we gotten away from basic management tenets, or are we learning new tenets?
Yeah. So, great article was about the, you know, change is hard. This is hard for the conversation I had with a man who retired from UPS. It's like, Michelle, I don't understand. To us, it was just you make your sales quota, you keep your job. Nobody cared if I was happy.
That's me. Praise I want? I want my access card to work when I come to work. I want to be able to log on my email. And I got to tell you, the downside of that is when the card doesn't work or you can't get on the email, it makes you wonder. But go ahead, Michelle, please.
Yeah, and so change is hard. And again, you got to just look at the stats. The types of workers we are dealing with right now are very different. That my father is 77 years old. He retired from General Motors. He is still my biggest role model, and he's still my biggest cheerleader. I mean, this is a guy who missed a lot of my sports, you know, outings and whatever school conferences. And he does have some regrets for sure that he left it all on the field. He did everything for General Motors. When they said move, he moved us every 2 years. I went to 8 different schools. Is that the best way? No, not at all. And so we just have to adapt to the new type of worker. And the new type of worker has more power than ever before and is saying, you know what? I don't want to live like my parents did. They dealt with jerk bosses. Wow. They worked in toxic environments, and it affected our family life. They weren't happy. They brought home a paycheck, but can't we have it a little bit better?
We're going to have to put a pin in this for now, but I would suggest to you that you would not be where you are had your dad not made those sacrifices. And, Your Honor, I would add, and we'll talk about this next time, that for the people that want more family time, perhaps the companies that could create a market for people who are willing to do as your dad did. So that means that the company is going to be happier with them than the people that are seeking satisfaction. We'll talk about it next time we talk to you.
I can't wait.
All right.
Scintillating, Tommy Tucker. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. Michelle Johnson, Gaston Chair of Business at Loyola University. We'll take a break. 9:35. We come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.